following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning, and welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel, and I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Today we are going to continue in our Unto One Another series, and so throughout this month of July, we have been looking at the Greek word allelon, which is most commonly translated one another throughout Scripture. And we've been doing kind of a word study of sorts, identifying different uses of it, and then engaging in the verses and the passages that use this word as we learn what Scripture has to say about how we treat one another. Just over a week ago, we had our journey to Israel and Palestine evening, where the folks who, or almost all of the folks who went from Emmanuel on the Israel and Palestine study tour shared about a different day that we were there. And I think it's safe to say that all of us came back changed. All of us came back with a different appreciation for the people there. And I think we all came back with at least a little bit better understanding of the challenges that face just the different people groups in Israel and Palestine, politically, religiously, economically, etc. And this week, I've been very aware of, you know, we had this night where we kind of shared about excitement about being there. And over the last week, just over a week, there's been a lot of killing there. Both Palestinians and Israelis, like, there's just been a lot of violence. And it's almost every time I open the news on my computer, it will be a different incident. And depending on which day it is and which happened at which point, you'll see whether it's Israelis that are in the headlines or Palestinians that are in the headlines. And it's just, it feels extra important to be talking about this one another word as we as Christians seek to be a light in the world. Try to relate to one another differently in a way that looks and feels different from the rest of the world. We have a few kind of longer scripture passages this morning, so I'm going to jump right in to it, but let me pray for us first. Heavenly Father, we invite your presence as we engage in your word this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage us. Convict us. Challenge us. Inspire us. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our first passage this morning is from Romans 14, verses 13 to 19. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Paul writes Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. He's speaking specifically in this section about adhering to food law, and not allowing that to separate one another, not allowing that to be the reason for judging one another. But I really love the last three verses here, and I think they're really important as we think about this in broader terms than just food law. Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding." I believe that we as the church would do well to practice these words vigorously, to pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding, not passing judgment, not putting stumbling blocks in place, and pursuing the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit that is the kingdom of God. Our second passage this morning is Romans 16, verses 1 through 16. There are a whole bunch of names here, like just a whole bunch. And I'm going to get some of them right, and you're going to be in awe of my pronunciation skills, and I'm going to get some of them really wrong, but you can read them up there and see for yourselves the names. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena, Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asclepius, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." Our one another comes at the very end of a long section of greetings, right? And I really thought for two reasons of leaving that out. One, just the pronunciation challenges. And two, because it's a long list of names. Like, why all of these names? 16 verses of greetings before we get to our one another, 15. And I left it in, and I wanted us to read it, because I believe that there's something really powerful here in seeing, in reading, and in hearing all of these names. Right? These are names of individuals, men and women, who are faithfully working to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And I left them in because names are important, right? Because it is a recognition of these people, that these are actual men and women who lived, who walked the earth, who are involved just as we are in God's story. Many times we see in Scripture lists of names, and often we either skip over them or rush through them, and understandably so. But one of the things that really came to life for me on our trip to Israel and Palestine was that these were real people. Real people. Real men and women. And maybe that sounds silly. Maybe you get that all the time. But sometimes it's really easy to read scripture and forget that these are actual men and women. It's easy to turn these into characters or even into broad groups, right? Like this is the church in the beginning. And, each of these people are, kind of represent the bigger church. But these are individuals, and that's why they're named. And throughout Scripture, we see the names of individuals because God has relationships with these individuals. He knows each of them by name. And that should carry on for us as well, recognizing one another as individuals. Men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, around the world, working to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I'm going to read the next two kind of in tandem, I suppose. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 19 to 24. The churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 14. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, we see three instances of this phrase, greet one another with a holy kiss. And three more times between Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians. In Romans and 1 Corinthians, we see a number of individuals, fellow followers of Christ. And then the 2 Corinthians passage gives us a little bit more. It gives us a little bit more instruction, a little bit more direction, more perhaps of what a holy kiss really includes. Rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Being unto one another is tough, and it incorporates a whole lot. I mean, we've spent, now 4 weeks, and we still have one more week that we're spending on just this word. And here, even, we see that it includes restoration, comfort, agreement, peace. And we see that God is in all of that. And we also are reminded that we need God for all of that, and that we are promised God in all of that. Our next passage is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 7. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. Maybe you can see that there's a little bit of sweat on my forehead. My ears might be a little bit red. I wrestled with this one. When I was initially sorting through the text for this series, I really thought about leaving this behind, delete, we'll just skip it onto the next one. But that wouldn't do justice to the word study that we're trying to do. That wouldn't do justice to Scripture. And so here we have it. This is an interesting little section about marriage, and Paul is addressing directly a much-held or overemphasized belief in Corinth that celibacy was the ideal even within marriage. So Paul addresses the importance of a sexual relationship within marriage. A lot of what we've discussed in this series about the word one another, all alone, has been big picture, right? It's been broad, how we treat one another collectively. And that I've tried to kind of emphasize that this is bigger than about what we do as a body here at Emmanuel, but it is, it crosses denominations, it crosses continents even. But here, one another takes a much more focused nuance. Here, it is about two people, a married couple. And so all alone, one another spans that whole spectrum. It is as intimate as a married couple, but it is as broad as the Big C church globally. And one extra little note on kind of the last two verses that we read here. The church today tends to downplay Paul's words and holds marriage as the highest ideal for individuals. And I think it's really important for us to do a better job of encouraging those who are single currently, or who choose to be single for life. It is easy to get wrapped up in marriage in a passage like this, when Paul says that there are some who are called to singleness, and that's something the church can do a much better job of embracing as we learn to live and care for one another. All right, that one's out of the way. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. We've heard, we've read these words before in this series, bear one another's burdens. It's about love. It's about service. It's about unity. It's about humility. Especially as we get into verse 3. Right? It's about humility. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If we fulfill the law of Christ in bearing one another's burdens, we avoid the failure that Paul speaks of in verses 4 and 5. We avoid falling into that trap. We avoid being alone. We avoid failing alone. So bearing one another's burdens is as much about us being a part of something as it is about caring for others. And finally, our last passage for today is Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4 takes us to a really great place to end this morning. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive. There's nothing easy in any of these three commands, but each is extremely important. Especially that example of forgiveness. Because our example of forgiveness is Christ Jesus himself. And he quite literally has forgiven everything, every one of our sins. He knows them and has forgiven them. So as we are struggling to forgive one another, and we struggle to forgive one another, whether it's a spouse, a family member, a friend, a church family member, a past church, or someone else, know that Christ has been there. Christ has forgiven far more than you will ever be asked to forgive. And Christ will lead you into these opportunities for forgiveness, will empower you, will strengthen you, will comfort you, no matter how difficult that forgiveness may be. This morning, we have looked at a lot of different ways that we interact with each other. Many, especially this morning, about how we interact as individuals in personal relationships, whether that's with family, friends, spouses, fellow church members, etc. Our relationships matter. And one of the things that I've been realizing throughout this series is that in many ways, what we are challenged with through interacting with this loan, with this word, all alone, unto one another, focusing first perhaps on our Christian brothers and sisters, is that perhaps this is really supposed to be the easier work of forgiving, of loving, of blessing, as practice. That it should be easier for us to do this amongst one another, amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we are practicing doing this in the world. This is our opportunity to be an example, to live out what Jesus commands us, so that as we work on these things with one another, we are also able to live them out more fruitfully in the world, in all of our relationships. It's a challenge by all means, but it is our call as followers of Jesus. Dear Lord, help us to follow you, Jesus. Help us to live into your example for us, to love, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive. Teach us to follow you in our relationships with one another in our own families, our own congregation, and beyond. Allow us, Lord Christ, to be a shining example of your love for all the world. When we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.